long time ago, in a galaxy far, far away. Penguin Random House Audio presents Star Wars: The Living Force by John Jackson Miller. Read for you by Mark Thompson. Note to listeners, this audiobook includes a bonus PDF of the Jewel Cities of Quen as included in the book. Be mindful of the living force, young Padawan. Qui-Gon Jinn. For generations, the galaxy looked to the Jedi Council, the most sage Jedi Knights of the Order, for wisdom and guidance. Interpreting the will of the Force, the Council helped bring about an age of unprecedented peace and prosperity. That time is ending. Riven with corruption, the Galactic Republic shifts vital resources away from many deserving places. The Council finds itself torn between responding to the Senate's desires and its mission to protect all of the galaxy's helpless. But even as the Order withdraws from some regions, the Council's commitment to the people is unchanged. And just as there are Jedi who believe that the Force expects more from them, there are darker forces waiting to take advantage of their departure. Part 1. The Jedi Retreat. Chapter 1. Aboard the Regal Zephyr. Hyperspace.
Good morning. Leaning against the bulkhead of the interstellar transport, Jedi Master Qui-Gon Jinn looked up at the sound of Obi-Wan Kenobi's voice. The words weren't for him. Farther back in the Regal Zephyr's crowded passenger cabin, his apprentice had finally found an open seat and had spoken to the dark-haired human across the aisle. Qui-Gon didn't need to be a Jedi to sense the young woman's apprehension as she tightly clutched her duffel bag. Obi-Wan noticed it too, and quickly sought to put her at ease.
I beg your pardon. I didn't know you were sleeping.
I wasn't,
she replied curtly.
Hyperspace does make that difficult.
He gestured to the whirling miasma outside the Regal Zephyr's smudged viewports.
It's hard to know what time of day it is. I sense you don't like flying any more than I...
She made a sour face.
Look, that seat's taken.
He glanced around.
I'm sorry. I should have...
My husband will be here any minute.
Obi-Wan quickly stood.
Excuse me.
He bowed and walked the few meters up the aisle to the forward wall where Qui-Gon stood near the door to the galley alongside the large metal briefcase that was their cargo. The Jedi Master gently grinned.
Trouble on approach.
I wasn't even in the right galaxy.
I promise you'll make at least one friend before we reach Coruscant, Obi-Wan.
Qui-Gon craned his neck to look around the compartment, which contained far more riders than seats.
I would say it's mathematically impossible not to.
Often in the past, Qui-Gon had encouraged his Padawan to use the quieter moments on their journeys to get to know people, to connect with them. It wasn't that the young man had problems making friends. Obi-Wan had a natural ability in that regard. But the structures that turned younglings into Jedi Knights also tended to isolate them. And that could give them the wrong idea about their places in the galaxy. That was why Qui-Gon often chose commercial transport, such as the inaccurately named Regal Zephyr, one of a dwindling number of passenger vessels serving the Utmian Payball, once a key route leading from the Slice to Coruscant. A seemingly endless flight aboard a ship that smelled like a trash compactor was both humble and humbling. Automatic doors opened on Qui-Gon's right. He and Obi-Wan watched as a haggard man entered from the galley, carrying a squirming child in each arm. Ignoring the two Jedi as he trudged past, the man approached the woman Obi-Wan had spoken with. After passing a toddler to her, he displayed a single food pouch, one of the meager rations offered by the galley concessionaire. The reunited family looked exhausted, but also hungry. They tore into the pouch and emptied it in seconds. Qui-Gon walked down the aisle and approached the young parents. He drew a pair of tokens from the folds of his cloak and got their attention.
"Pardon me. You dropped your meal vouchers."
"Oh, those aren't mine," the man said, eyeing him. "I just used our last one."
"Then these must have stuck to your shoe. Easy to believe around here."
He looked to the hungry children and back to their parents.
"Please, they shouldn't go to waste."
The wary mother stared for a moment before taking the tokens. She rose. Daughter on her hip, she trotted off to the galley. Qui-Gon retreated to his previous station. Obi-Wan smirked.
"We'll be skipping breakfast, then."
"You wouldn't have enjoyed it."
"You're probably right."
He surveyed the surly faces around the cabin.
"I'm afraid I lack the common touch, Master."
"There's that phrase again."
Qui-Gon shook his head.
"Every being is your better, Obi-Wan. Remember that, and service becomes second nature."
"I never tire of hearing that one."
Obi-Wan spied another open seat, nearer to where the two Jedi stood. He straightened.
"Back into the fray?"
"Try a bit more energy this time. The galley's out of calf."
"Done."
Qui-Gon watched as his apprentice gamely stepped over and sat beside a large, huddled figure. The Jedi Master had seen him earlier. A massive member of the Hook species, with leathery blue skin and no apparent ears or nose. None of that was visible now, as he was wrapped in a cape and cowl. Odd choices, given the warmth in the cabin. Checking quickly to ensure that the Hook wasn't asleep, Obi-Wan adopted an antic smile and addressed the passenger.
"Hello there."
Beady yellow eyes went wide. The bruiser growled and abruptly rose to his towering height. The Hook threw off his cloak to reveal a blaster holstered to his chest. Obi-Wan's eyes widened.
"If you wanted to be left alone, you only had to say so."
"Quiet!" The muscular Hook turned to face the rest of the cabin and shouted, "Now!" Two more cloaked passengers rose and shed their disguises. A scar-faced Klaatuinian and a horned Deveronian reached for their weapons. The latter had his blaster in his hand first. Golden eyes and sharp fangs flashed as he shouted, "Nobody move!" Qui-Gon saw Obi-Wan start to rise, only to pause. His Padawan looked instead to him. Qui-Gon had his hand near his lightsaber, still hidden inside his robe. But he, too, waited. He shot a look he knew his student would understand.
"No bloodshed. Not with so many innocents about, with nowhere to go."
"What's the meaning of this?"
an elderly passenger demanded. The Deveronian waved his blaster.
"Let me introduce myself. I'm the Lobber. That's right, that Lobber. this
sample complete. Ready to continue?